Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Pete Stoughton. Well, Dr. Max Testa of Intermountain Healthcare is no stranger to helping athletes. He's credited with the rise of the U.S. professional cycling with his involvement with the U.S. postal team decades ago. Since then, he has guided athletes and athletic teams through maximizing their performance. And he still does, as he has taken on USA Triathlon athletes along with his team at Intermountain Healthcare and Park City Hospital. Now, one of those athletes will also join us along with Dr. Max Testa, Austin Hindman. He's an elite triathlon athlete on the international stage with gold medals in international junior competition and many top podium finishes to his credit. For young U.S. triathletes with goals to compete in future Olympic Games, the COVID-19 pandemic has forced them to adapt to their training, and that's why they've come to Park City, a locale that often hosts elite athletes who come to train here at altitude, along with world-class training facilities and local expertise. Project Podium is what they're all working on. Welcome, Dr. Max Testa. Max, it's an interesting new project. We know that many athletes now during COVID are having to adapt to a new world of not really being able to race and compete, which is something that really drives them, doesn't it?
Yes, that is a part of their DNA. So these are highly driven athletes, and you need to keep them engaged all the time to be able also to for them to tolerate, you know, the demand of training.
I think everyone's made this adaptation to COVID, not having competition. It sounds like this young group of USA triathletes has decided to come to Park City. They typically train in Arizona, which is sounding particularly hot right about now, but they come here for the high altitude and also to enjoy the expertise of Intermountain Healthcare, of the Park City Hospital, and what you do in sports medicine. So maybe take us through what your team can offer these athletes.
Yes, happy to. So here at the Park City Hospital Sport Medicine and Sport Performance Program, we really try to support athletes for different disciplines and for from all level of fitness, so from the very fit like these guys, that are the best in the country and between the best in the world in triathlon, but also working with the weekend warriors to maximize their potential and maximize their training, keeping an eye on their health. You know, as we all know, health and performance go hand by hand. You cannot separate the two. So our vision is to offer an holistic approach to the sport performance, integrating not just sport medicine, but also exercise physiology, sport biomechanics. We have an holistic program. We include acupuncture and massage, and these athletes see a physical therapy every week to prevent the development of any overuse injury. So I think that we are offering a unique approach that we would like, put in practice with these top athletes, because from the best, you always learn, and then apply whatever we learn to the everyday recreational athlete.
Well, you mentioned the holistic approach and the need for racing as a motivation to continue the sports. And I know I'll throw myself under the bus as a weekend warrior. I really need that motivation. How do you address that motivation for elite athletes who need that same kind of motivation?
So, yeah, this is a great question. So, like Lynn was mentioning, these are special times with the COVID. They cannot race. So the format of a camp where they can, you know, train together with other athletes at their level is already a way to keep them engaged more. So that's why, you know, these athletes are here. They're having a camp for 2 months. And then, you know, in this specific case, we are trying to maximize the benefit from altitude training, which is another, benefit of training up here for endurance athletes in particular. So we have been explaining them what to expect with the altitude camp during the camp, and then eventually when they go back to sea level. The other thing is keep giving them a matrix to show them that they're improving. In some cases, you have also to work with a sport psychologist or with a mental coach to motivate them. In this specific group, I don't think that is an issue. They're really motivated. All these athletes are trying to aim next Olympics in 2021 in Tokyo. So they have plenty of motivation. But definitely, motivation is a big part of the training process. And, you know, depending on the individual, you need to identify what are the limiting factors and then go case by case.
Well, I think this is a great opportunity, Dr. Testa, speaking about the Project Podium. Thank you for sharing some of those metrics that a lot of those racers need. Are you finding that without those racing and those intensity blocks, that those racers are hitting those metrics of improvement, or is it more challenging without that, you know, colleague, that other peer competitor right there next to them?
Yeah, that's another great question. So what we are learning with this group, but also with other athletes from other sports that are in a similar situation, is that never like this year, coaches have the possibility to monitor and to record over time the improvement that comes just with training. So we're learning a lot about that. As you know, to push yourself to your real limit, there is nothing like a real race. It's very hard to repeat that level of intensity in training. So as I said before, one format is the camp, because you train next shoulder to the other best athlete in the country, and so you push yourself. I would say that in a lot of sport, we realize over the years, take for example marathon, that you don't have to race that much. That you know, you if you do too many races, sometimes you kind of detrain yourself because you're not able to build the blocks of training and recovery in the proper in a proper manner. Like too many races interfere with the progress. They can help at the beginning, but then you achieve a plateau, and eventually you go in negative adaptations. So, as I said, this is an opportunity to learn. Be nice to have a few races at least. That would make the life for the coaches and for the athlete themselves a little easier. But I think that you know, in any situation, you have to try to maximize the potential benefits. So that's one of the things we're trying to do.
Dr. Testa, I'm just wondering, because I think it's interesting. We've heard of elite athletes training at altitude for quite a long time. It's something that many athletes do, not just elite athletes. They come to altitude and then they go back down to sea level or wherever it is, and they have an advantage. I guess I don't really know what physiologically happens. And since you're a sports medicine doctor, I bet you'll be great at explaining that to us.
Sure, happy to. So in particularly in endurance sport, but also in what we call intermittent aerobic and anaerobic sport, like soccer, lacrosse, basketball, to a certain extent also football, your limiting factor is the availability of oxygen to the muscles. So our body develop in a way that when needed can increase the delivery of oxygen to the working muscles by increasing the heart rate, increasing the ventilatory rate and the depth of your breath multiple times. So a good athlete can increase that over 20 times. In order to get there, you need to keep your heart and your lungs very fit. When you go to altitude, you expose your body to an extra stressor that is the reduced partial pressure of the gases. Like, for example, up here in Parsiti, the pressure of the atmosphere is around 600 millimeter of mercury versus 760, so one atmosphere at sea level. So to run at the same speed up here, you have to work around 18% harder. Your heart and your lungs are working around, you know, that range, you know, 12 to 18% harder, depending on the sport. So it's like, you know, working out with some extra weight on your shoulders. After enough time that you train at altitude, you start to build more hemoglobin mass, and hemoglobin is basically whatever in the red cells carry oxygen. And so you become better and more efficient in delivering oxygen to the muscle. So when you go back to altitude, you know, you feel the benefit for it. It's not straightforward, so it's pretty easy to understand in this term, but there are some other factors that can modify how well you respond to altitude training while you are in altitude, and how well you can transfer those benefits once you go back to sea level. And so, you know, it's a little bit of a mix of science and art. Every athlete has a little different curve of ability to respond to altitude and then to perform at sea level. And so these camps are really a great opportunity to follow each individual case by case. So we have been doing blood tests regularly to monitor the response, so how much more red cells they're building, how much iron they're using more than a sea level. And hopefully we're going to have this data available next time they want to come back for an altitude camp and make things even better and more efficient. So the altitude, as I said, is like adding an extra stressor to your body to make your body getting stronger when it's about delivering oxygen to the muscles.
Well, it's interesting, that whole explanation. Thank you for that. And you talked about some different factors that sort of vary the outcome of altitude training. And I'm wondering, you know, someone like Austin is in his early 20s, he's young. Is one of those factors age? And is there diminishing returns for altitude training as we get older? It's a little off topic, but, you know, Pete and I are sitting here as we age, wondering if it can still benefit us.
Yeah, I will say, you know, in general, a positive factor. So normally when you're younger, you tend to adapt and to respond to situation better. But specifically to altitude, there are other factors. One, for example, being a genetic predisposition. There are people that are what we call non-responders. So they go to altitude, but they don't really get the same benefit. For example, when we measure how much more red cells they build compared to other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that is another reason why you want to learn for each athlete how they respond. So definitely genetic predisposition is one. Previous exposure to altitude is another one. In fact, there are studies that show that even if you don't spend too much time at altitude, but you do it repetitively over time, you kind of accumulate some kind of memory in your body to produce, to respond better to the challenge of altitude. And so these are definitely important factors. Another one is nutrition. So when you come to altitude, you know, your body and your bone marrow has to produce more red cells. So you need to give a little extra supply of iron and some vitamins to maintain the process going. And so we need to make sure that they have enough calories to cover for their resting metabolic rate and their caloric expenditure that come from exercise. And give all those other elements, like I said, iron, in order to maintain a good production of red cells. And so, you know, they're a multifactorial. Also the training. You know, normally you don't want to stress the body too much too soon. The first, 3 to 5 days of exposure to altitude are kind of critical. So and that is the phase in which you have some adaptation that are transient, but it can actually can impact negatively your performance. For example, you lose bicarbonate, so that makes not easy for you to work at high speed or high intensity. So, you know, normally we have phases of adaptation. So you have to put all this in context. So the previous history of this athlete, their health, their nutrition, level of iron, and then modify a little bit their training for a while. And I mean, I've been in Park City for 14 years. So I have to say that after 14 years and having had athletes from different sports up here, You never stop learning. So, you know, there is more than what could be simple to explain. And like a lot of other in exercise and performance are very much individual based. So we need to individualize this kind of recommendation to each subject, you know, based on these all these factors I just mentioned.
Well, we have someone on air with us who's more than just a subject and is an athlete with you. Austin, glad to have you on board. And
thanks for having me.
Is this your first time in Park City training at altitude?
It is, yeah, first time.
How much was it? Smack in the face, did you notice a training differential? And how has it been working with Dr. Test and his team? How are you seeing progress?
Yeah, well, definitely at first it was a bit of a challenge coming up from sea level and pretty much having lived at sea level my whole life, coming up to, you know, 6,500, 7,000 feet up here. Definitely felt that in the first couple weeks, you know, just with recovery and overall fatigue and training. Definitely noticed feeling a lot more tired every couple nights, had a little bit of trouble sleeping, but it's been really, really helpful to be able to work with Intermountain and have their expertise and kind of be able to work with us through all of that, doing blood tests, lactate tests, getting baseline testing for all of our numbers up here, and also just having experts to be able to tell us like what we should be feeling when we're up here, so that, you know, for us who've never experienced it, we're not just feeling super tired and scratching our heads wondering why. So we've seen a lot of improvements so far, a lot of good adaptations while being up here. And yeah, looking forward to, after our time here, also going back down to sea level and being able to see the benefits when we go back down to full oxygen. So it'll be really interesting.
Well, you brought up an interesting topic, sleep, and how important sleep is for both training and recovery. But if you're having some difficulty sleeping at elevation, how do you adapt? What do you do? Do you head down to Salt Lake for a little bit of rest?
Yeah, that'd definitely be a good option. We've stayed up here, and it hasn't really been a super consistent issue with sleep. But there's definitely been a few nights, you know, it was more of an issue like when we first got up here. So I think kind of the way we addressed it was just trying to keep like the balanced training load, make sure we were on top of nutrition, and then, you know, during the day, if we had a rough night of sleep, making sure we were getting some time in bed during the day, trying to take a nap, make up for the sleep that we lost, and also just, you know, address the whole sleeping situation, trying to make sure that everything was the best that it could be, you know, so that hopefully we can have the best night's sleep possible. Because as you said, it's such an important part of training and recovery. So definitely a big priority for us.
Austin, I'm really curious, no doubt, since you're such an accomplished swimmer as one of your sports, you know exactly within seconds how long a 100-meter swim takes you or whatever it is. And I'm wondering at altitude, the first time, for anyone who's ever trying to swim hard that's not accustomed to it, you feel like you're drowning as you're gasping for air, right? Did you get any sense of that when you first got to Park City?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, swimming, out of the three sports that we do, swimming was the hardest to adjust to. And I remember the first couple of days that we got up here, we were all actually just making jokes about how hard it was to breathe off of the turns, because you already are holding your breath. And then, you know, now being up at altitude, you're holding your breath, but each breath you get is, you know, even less oxygen. So it definitely makes it tough. But yeah, we've seen, or at least at the beginning, we saw, you know, it was definitely a significant difference in the times we were consistently swimming in the pool. I would say probably, you know, 3 to 4 seconds per 100 in the beginning, and that's kind of started to even back out as we've been up here for longer and trained and gotten some more fitness. But yeah. definitely a significant difference in the pool.
Well, so then my question is, I always start off in the pool with a nice flip turn, and then as I start gasping for air, I eliminate the flip turn and just take a breath at the end and then push off the wall. Did you eliminate your flip turn in the beginning?
Oh, we didn't eliminate the flip turns, but honestly, that probably would have been a good idea. Maybe do some open turns, try and get a little bit more air. Yeah. It definitely, especially when we start swimming hard, it gets pretty tough with the flip turns and trying to you know, I've definitely eliminated trying to do like underwater dolphin kicks off the wall and everything. That's just, that's gone away. Trying to spend the least amount of time underwater possible.
I definitely can resonate with that. I try to spend as little time underwater as possible. So some kind of dolphin, shark, minnow. I'm probably more of a minnow turn. So, and I live here, so.
Yeah, good way to go.
Is it hard to, when you do come up and there's a psychology of, well, I used to be able to do this at lower elevation, but now I might be struggling with maintaining that pace. Is there a psychology that you struggled with in the beginning?
Maybe a little bit, yeah. I mean, it's definitely tough, you know, when we've been training hard at sea level and hitting certain times, and training was going really well, and then we came up here and just everything is at a slower pace. And I think for those of us who haven't really experienced altitude before, it took some time for us to kind of accept the fact that we're just going to have to train slower and, you know, adjust paces and everything, because obviously we get up here and we want to be hitting best times and everything, you know. I think it's just the kind of the nature of how we are, and that's not really the reality of training at altitude. So I think that's another thing that Intermountain has been super helpful with us for, is just having the overall understanding of what it is to train at altitude, and knowing that it's extremely important for us to be smart up here and do the right paces, not necessarily the fastest paces. And so kind of knowing that, we've been able to adjust. And yeah, you know, I would say at first it was an adjustment, because we didn't know exactly what the difference was going to be. Definitely kind of been able to accept and understand that, and, you know, use it to better our training rather than trying to be just super competitive with times and everything.
Well, it sounds like a really wonderful experience overall, not just physiologically, but psychologically as well, in terms of learning how to harness your expectations and things like that. And before we let you go, Dr. Testa, just wondering, in terms of, you know, these types of experiments and pilot projects that you're doing, do you anticipate an expansion of this sort of project podium happening in the future, or do you see this sort of going away after, well, when and if make it through the COVID crisis and all these athletes get back to competition?
Oh, I hope that we can actually use these experience like we are having now with the U.S. Triathlon to grow and expand our services. I think that we're in a unique position here in Park City. We have, I would say, a destination that is kind of unique in the world in terms of a possibility to train for different sports through the four seasons, and being so close to Salt Lake, where some of these athletes can go down periodically to do some high-intensity training. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been in similar places in Europe, like Sierra Nevada in Spain, for example, on Tenerife on the Canary Island. But there is no place like this one where you can be in 30 minutes to a lower altitude where you can actually maintain the top end of your performance. So I think we're in a unique location. Intermountain is also a unique organization, a level of expertise that can be needed by athletes, from orthopedic surgery to rehabilitation, physical therapy. We have cardiology, pulmonology. And here in the sport performance and sport medicine program at the hospital, we try to put all these resources together. So I think that we're going to grow from here. And, you know, Intermountain is committed. He sees the value of supporting the athletic demographic that lives in Park City or eventually comes here to improve their performance. So I think that I want to see this program to grow, that for sure.
Excellent. We're Dr. Max Testa of Intermountain Healthcare, along with Austin Heineman, our young aspiring athlete and elite athlete in the international scene. We thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life, and best of luck to both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.